Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Good morning. How are you this morning? I suppose it's not fair for me to ask, seeing that I might have given you a bit of a shock with my outburst. But I've done it for a reason, and I'm going to ask that you hold on to that emotion you felt, either when I said, well done, good and faithful servant, or when I said, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. And before I get into this morning's message, let me say what a privilege it is to be God's messenger this morning. I count it a huge privilege to be invited by your eldership to be God's messenger today. Thank you so much for having us and for making us feel so welcome. We look forward and we bring greetings from our church back in Cape Town, South Riding Baptist Church. We're just looking forward to spending this time with you together today. But besides the privilege of sharing God's word to you today, I've also got the privilege of having my wife with me, which I don't always have when I preach out. And to be very honest with you, I always enjoy preaching out a lot more when she is with me. So at this time, I'm going to invite my wife, Lenore, to come to the front to do a scripture reading for us and also to commit God's word to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lenore.
Good morning, church. Our reading is from Matthew 7, from verse 21 to 23, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. Matthew 7, from verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Verse 23. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. That is yes and amen. And I thank you for your word, Father, Lord God, that encourages us, that challenges us, that disciplines us. And I pray, Father, that as your word goes out this morning, that we will not only be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word. I pray today that wherever your word falls, Father, that it will accomplish that which it set out to do. And so I pray for Grant that you would anoint him with coals from the altar. I pray that you would touch his lips as he speaks your word, and that we will hear you speak, Father. And so, Lord, I pray, take your glory, be exalted, be enthroned this morning as we lift up the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. And all God's people says, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lenore. I must be honest with you. I always used to worry about this passage of scripture that Lenore read. You know, that where it says that not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And I used to worry that this would apply to me. And I'm really honest when I say that. I used to think that my credentials were quite good. I got saved when I was a young age. I got saved at the age of 8. Grew up in a Christian home. I started serving in the church at a young age. I was involved in worship teams from my teen years, leading worship, eventually leading worship teams, leading church youth groups. I was eventually a deacon at the church at the age of 21 and was always serving in the church in some way or another. And the reason I was worried about this scripture was because I knew the condition of my heart. Only I knew the secret thoughts that I had, and the stuff that I knew was in my heart made me wonder, what if on that day, like the scripture speaks about, I'm one of the many who say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he says to me, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Just imagine what it must be like to go through all of your life doing what you think is the right thing, only to get to the day of judgment and to hear those dreaded words. That would be the equivalent of what one author refers to as reaching the top of the ladder and discovering that it's leaning against the wrong wall. Is it even possible to know or to make sure that the words that we hear on that day are well done, good and faithful servant? I'm going to do a little bit of a test this morning, and I'm going to ask that you help me with this survey, if you will, by raising your hands. How many of us here know that when we get to heaven, God is going to say to us, well done, good and faithful servants? Okay, we're a bit nervous there. You can put down your hands. So maybe it's a little bit too early in the sermon for me to get that personal with you. Maybe if I put it this way, how many of us feel that our Christian life is ineffective and unproductive? Don't put up your hands. Today we're going to look at a passage of scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 11. And we're going to see that it is possible to confirm your calling and election. Incidentally, the title of my message is When Faith is Not Enough. And I'll explain that a little bit later. I'm not going to read it all in one go. I'm going to go through it as we do the message this morning. I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. The heading is Confirming One's Calling and Election. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And I want us to, straight off the bat, realize that the first truth that we glean from this passage is that everything pertaining to our calling and election is dependent on God. And what do we know about God? That God is always going to play His part. Can you repeat after me, God's part? I was hoping that since you'd been away from gathering for such a long time, that there would be more enthusiasm. So can you say God's part? And what we know about God is that God is always going to keep His part. God is always going to fulfill His promises. And this first two verses that we read, it's all about God. It speaks about verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need. So everything we need, we get from Him for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His goodness. And what does it say about His glory and His goodness? Through these, through His glory, through His goodness, He has given us His great and precious promises. Listen, if it was up to me and if it was up to you, it would be very difficult for us to be sure about our calling. I'll tell you why. Psalm 130, verse 3 tells us why. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who would stand? Paul quotes the psalmist when he says that there is no one righteous, not even one. And I can so relate to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, when he says that I do not do the good that I want to do. Instead, the evil that I don't want to do, that I find myself doing. Maybe we should put our hands up to say, who has that experience? Because where I come from in Cape Town, we all struggle with that. The things that I don't want to do, I find I keep doing those things. And yet the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, I should be avoiding, I find myself doing. But fortunately, my calling and my election is not up to me. Because if it was, I'd be in trouble. It's dependent on God, and God is always going to play His part. And that's why the benediction that they often read at the end of services from Jude says, to Him who is able to keep you from falling, from stumbling, and to present us before His glorious presence faultless, without fault. And that's what's so amazing. You know, we're seeing that hymn, Amazing Grace. That's what's so amazing about the grace of God. That it's not up to us. We can't do anything to earn it. We did nothing to deserve it. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says that it's by grace that we have been saved through faith. And that's not from ourselves, again. Because if it was from ourselves, we'd either want to boast. That's why it goes on to say, not by works, so that no one can boast. But if it was of ourselves, we would fail. Now, this truth gives us confidence that we cannot lose our salvation because the Bible says God keeps us in the hollow of His hand. Our salvation is not dependent on us. It's dependent on God. But while that truth is irrefutable, it does give us a little bit of a problem. Now, this is an area where we sometimes make a mistake. And to highlight the mistake that we sometimes make, I'm going to use an illustration, and why I use this illustration is because this illustration has really helped me to understand. While there's God's part, there's also our part. Say our part. I want you to imagine a yacht, a sailboat, a yacht with big white sails. I want you to, can you see the yacht? You can see the yacht in your mind? Big white. This yacht has no engine. And so how does this yacht move forward? Only with the power of the wind. Think of the captain, the person, the sailor that operates this yacht. If they want the boat, this yacht to move anywhere, what do they do? Before you answer me, let me ask you this question. Who creates the wind? God creates the wind. And if only God can create the wind, what can this captain do to get the sailboat moving? Nothing. Because it's only with the power and the force of the wind that this boat is propelled forward. So what does the captain do when they want the boat to move forward? Do they do nothing? No. It's a very, very active exercise. They can't propel the boat, but they need to work to get the sails in the right position so that the sails can catch the wind that God sends. Likewise, in the same way that our salvation, our election, our calling is entirely dependent on the wind of God's Spirit, you and I do still need to align the sails of our heart, as it were, in such a way that we catch God's wind when it blows. And that brings me to the second truth about this passage. And that's, while our calling and election are completely dependent on God, we as believers are not passive in confirming the fact that we are called and elected. That's why this passage says we need to make our calling and election sure. And it tells us how to do that. Before I read on, a few years ago, I was at the Baptist Union's National Assembly up here at the campsite in Roodepoort. And while I was away from our church, one of the young men that I've been discipling, I asked him to preach that Sunday. And I'd been helping him, I'd been grooming him and training him. He's from Malawi, so English is not his first language. So he would often bounce things off me to find out, am I using the right word? And when I phoned him to check up, are you all set for Sunday? He said, Pastor Grant, I'm fine, but I've just got a question about a word. I said, what is the word? He says he wants the title to be something along the line of supplementing your faith. And he wanted to know about, what are those, is it right? When he speaks about vitamins, those things that you take, supplements because you're not getting enough nutrients from your food. I said, no, you're using the word correctly. But then I was worried because why is he talking about supplementing your faith? I'm thinking, should faith not be enough? I said, what's the passage you're speaking on? And it happened to be this passage. And when I went to the passage, I understood why he's talking about supplementing your faith. Because there are times when faith is not enough. Let's read on and find out. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Add to your faith these things. It starts off by saying, make every effort. What's another word for effort? Work. We need to work at these things. There is work involved, and you and I have our part to play in this. That's why James says, faith without works is dead. We need to be adding these things to our faith. And even though Paul said in Ephesians, it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, not by works, the very next verse, verse 10, he says that God has already prepared works in advance for us to do. Now, this list is quite a daunting list, because we need to add, yes, our faith is in God and it's all dependent on Him, but we need to add to that faith goodness, being good and kind to one another. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said we need to be the light of the world. In the same way, let your light so shine before men so that others can see what? Your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But to those good works, we need to add knowledge. Knowledge doesn't just happen. Just ask the students, the learners at school. How does one get knowledge? It involves work. You need to read. You need to study. You need to memorize things. It involves work. Add to that knowledge self-control. It takes effort. Add perseverance. You know, these things are to be, if you want to test if you're a true Christian, a true believer, if you want to know if Jesus is going to say to you one day, well done, good and faithful servant, test yourself against this list and ask yourself if these qualities, if these characteristics are evident in my life. And here's the thing. How does one get these things? It says, make every effort. I'll tell you how it doesn't work. Lord, I need goodness in my life. Lord, please zap me with goodness. I need self-control. Lord, please zap me with self-control. That's not how it works. Have you ever heard the poem God gave me? I asked for strength. God gave me difficulties to overcome. I asked for wisdom. God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity. God gave me a brain and brawn to work. I asked for courage. God gave me danger to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted, but I received everything I needed. The second thing we need to realize is that this list covers all our relationships, and it covers all our attitudes, not just on a Sunday when you look as beautiful as you look now and we meet one another in the foyer or we meet one another for coffee, but every single day of our lives, these qualities need to be in our lives, and not just some of it, not just the parts that we like. Every single one is required of every single one of us. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, and not the individual fruits of the Spirit. It's not one fruit, it's a cluster of fruit. Someone has even suggested that the fruit of the Spirit is love, colon. And out of that love comes joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Notice the order of this list: faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. Notice that faith, it starts with faith, because our faith should be the foundation of all of these. But as we go up the list, it should culminate in love. We sang earlier on about the love of our God, the eternal love of God. Ultimately, that should be expressed in love. And speaking about fruit, earlier my wife read from Matthew chapter 7, from verse 21 to 23, but I want to read the few verses that come just before where she read, from verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Galatians chapter 6 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. There's that word again, goodness. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's that word again, perseverance. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That analogy of the harvest is such a good one, because in the same way that a sailboat captain can do nothing to generate a wind, neither can a farmer grow grain. All the farmer can do is to provide the right conditions for the growing of the grain. He cultivates the ground, he plants the seed, he waters the plants, and then the natural forces of the earth take over, and up comes the grain and it produces a harvest. And this is the challenge for us. These qualities are to be in each and every one of our lives. And yet the fruit of the Spirit is not called the fruit of the flesh for a reason. Because these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, those aren't things that come naturally to us humans. And it seems like Paul said, the harder I try to do these things, I can't do it. So how are these fruits cultivated in our lives? John said it best, I need to decrease and Christ must increase in me. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to add to my faith goodness, to help me to add to my goodness knowledge, to add self-control and perseverance and godliness. But I'm not passive in that. I need to ask God to show me, what do I need to do? Because God will do his part. I need to do my part. And you know what comes as a result? The fruit. Say the fruit. We read about the fruit in the next two verses, verse 8 to 9. For if you possess these qualities, and that's the list that I've gone through, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if any of you do not have them, you are nearsighted and blind, and you have forgotten that you have been cleansed of your past sins. What does Peter say there? He says, if you have these qualities, and you, it's not just about having them, we need to have them in increasing measure. Today is the 19th of September, 2021. 1 year ago, I had a certain amount of goodness, knowledge, self-control, and love. If these qualities are in me in increasing measure, then today, those qualities, there should be more of that. But next year, there should be more as we continue to work at making our calling and election sure. These qualities must be growing. And if they aren't growing, we're going to find ourselves being like those of us who never put up our hands earlier on, who put up our hands to say that we were ineffective and unproductive. If you wonder why my life is so ineffective and unproductive, maybe I need to look at the scripture and say, Lord, help me. Show me what I need to do, because I know you're going to do your part. What is the part that I need to do so that you can produce these fruits in me? But also, notice how that if we are not doing these things, then we are basically taking our salvation for granted, because that's what verse 9 said. You have forgotten that you have been cleansed of your past sins. How many of us don't take our salvation for granted? I'm going to challenge us this morning. And I've asked the leadership for permission to do this, that if God is speaking to you today on any one of these qualities that it's lacking in your life, and I'm going to invite you later on at the end of this message to stand. And you're going to stand not to say, Lord, I need self-control. Please zap me with self-control. But the standing will be an acknowledgement that firstly, God will always do his part. So I'm standing to say I'm dependent on God for this. But I'm also standing to say that I commit myself to make every effort like the scripture says. So that I don't take my salvation for granted. So that I can make my calling and election sure. And before I close in prayer and before I ask you to respond to what God is saying to you today through this scripture, I want to turn our thoughts in closing to what the outcome will be. You see, God's part, God will always fulfill his part. You and I have our part to play in making our calling and election sure. And then what will be produced in us is the fruit that makes sure that we're not unproductive and ineffective. But what is the outcome? What is the outcome that we desire? Before I close in prayer, I want to read verse 10 and verse 11 because that tells us the outcome that will come about as a result of this. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And guess how he's going to welcome you? By saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Shall we pray? Lord, this morning we want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had to look at your word, and we think of James that says that when we read your word, we need to allow it to reflect back to us those areas in our lives where we don't look like Jesus so that your Holy Spirit can do his work. But today we acknowledge that we have a part to play in working together with your Holy Spirit as you produce fruit in our lives, as you make us more like Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, who has been here with us from the start of the service till now, who has been with us through the time of worship, and even as we listened to your word, has spoken and prompted and prodded our lives, Father God. I pray that that same Holy Spirit would continue this work now. I'm going to give you an opportunity like I promised you. I'm going to ask that nobody looks around. This is just between you and God. But if God has spoken to you through this message in one way, whether it's one of those qualities or many of them, that you say, Lord, I recognize that this quality is lacking in my life. I need you to do a work, but I also commit to joining you in working to that end. I'm going to invite you to stand as an act of commitment to make the effort that needs to be made. You don't need to come to the front. Just stand where you are and I'll include you in this closing prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. Your word says about itself that it will not return to you empty, but that you will accomplish your purposes. And your purpose for your word today has been to challenge, to discipline, to correct, and to chastise us, Father God. And so we are standing today, declaring our dependence on you. We can't do this on our own, but we do recognize that we have a part to play. And so we pray that even as we leave this place today, Father God, Lord, that your presence would go with us and that your Holy Spirit would convict and convince us and remind us of the effort that we need to make. Lord, for each of us, we're standing for different reasons, Lord, but we declare our dependence on you and we ask that you would help us to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I ask everyone to stand as Josh leads us in a closing song? Thank you.